Welcome. Good to see everybody. Hope everyone's Hazara is going well. I know it could be a stressful time, but really do not worry. It's not going to be anything too difficult. And if you put in the proper Hazara, you'll be more than okay. I'm going to give the Hazara shir. And then afterwards, I'll leave time. If anyone has, they want to stick around afterwards just to like ask questions about the Bechina, for sure we'll leave time for that. Okay. So today's Hazara shir is... I felt like I was about to say, you know, today's Chazar Shir is sponsored by, but no, okay. Today's Chazar Shir is on Eidei Kiyum. And it was the last topic we did right before the break. And I thought it was a beautiful, self-contained topic, which was really good, like Kesar was just talking about, a great way of just portraying like the real Rav Rodin Zweig Mahalach. We have this question, how to look at something. We had two different ways of looking at it, and then a bunch of nafkaminas. That was really, it was like a beautiful, typical sugya. And a really great example of what we normally do in Shir. So let's get into it to discuss what happened. So the background is that we saw this Tosfos, which talks about a lot of different topics. And at the end, right, so it talks about Eide Chasima, Eide Mesira, what's Shita of Rav Elazar, who do we paskin like? And then at the end, Rabbeinu Tam makes a simple one-sentence comment, which leads to this whole entire sugya. Rabbeinu Tam says that even according to Rav Meir, who holds Eide Chasima Karsi, so normally we wouldn't require Eide Mesira, meaning you don't need Eidim on the Maisa itself, you just need Eidim to sign the document. Even according to that opinion, Rabbeinu Tam says, we still require Eide Kiyam for Kiddushin and Gerushin because of Davar Sherbe Erva. Ein Davar Sherbe Erva Pachos Mishnayim. So even if you hold like Rav Meir, who normally says, just sign the piece of paper and that's enough, it's not going to be enough for Ishus, because Ishus is an exception to the rule. So then Tosos entertains the possibility, though, that maybe that's not true. Maybe all we need is Hodas Baldin. Even though, yes, Ishus is Davasher Be'erva, and you need two people to be present in order to be Mekayim Davar, maybe Hodas Baldin is enough, says Tosfos. But then Tosfos says, no. Hodas Baldin is not going to be good enough. Yesh L'chalik. Kiddushin and Gerushin, Hodas Baldin doesn't work. Why doesn't Hodas Baldin work for those two things? Because of Chav L'Achrini. For Dine Mamonos, Hodas Baldin will help you, and therefore you won't need Eide Kiyam there. But because of Chav L'Achrini, which we'll discuss, you can't have Hodas Baldin when it comes to Kiddushin and Gerushin. And therefore, even Rav Meir holds, you need Eide, if you hold Eide Chasima Karsi, you're still going to require Eide Kiyam on the Maisa Gerushin or Maisa Kiddushin itself. So this really opens up the question of what are Eide Kiyam and how do they work? What are they doing? When are they required? And what are some of the nafkaminas if, you know, based on the different perspectives that we take? Okay? So that was all section one. That is just the background. Okay? So then we're going to have another three sections or four sections. Okay? One is going to be just providing the general framework, just setting up this sort of conceptual mahalach and two different ways of looking at the sugya, and we'll discuss those two possibilities. Then I'm going to have a section on the different shitos, who fits into which part of that framework. Then we're going to talk about some nafkaminas, some things which are affected by those perspectives, and then we'll finish up with the Rambam, because those are some really amazing mahalachim. Okay, so the general framework is that there are two ways to look at Eide Kiyam, all based on one Gemara. So the Gemara in Kiddushin discusses the question of Mekadesh be'ed achad. Let's say you want to do Kiddushin in front of an Eid Echad. Is that good enough for Kiddushin? So the Gemara suggests that yes, Mekadesh be'ed achad is good enough because of Davar Davar. There's a Hekish to Mammon, and you don't need Eidim for Mammon. So why, and you have this concept of Hodas Baldin after all. So why can't we do that for Kiddushin as well? So if you could do Hodas Baldin, even Eid Echad is going to be okay. Why not? Just do Hodas Baldin. Hodas Baldin, Hodas Baldin. It always works for Mammon. It should always work for Kiddushin as well because there's a Hekesh between Mammon and Kiddushin. Davar, Davar. So what's the problem with that? The Gemara says, no, Kiddushin is totally different. You can't compare Kiddushin to Mammon when it comes to Eidos because Hodas Baldin isn't going to work for Kiddushin because Chav L'Achrini. Since Kiddushin is a Chav L'Achrini, we don't allow for Hodas Baldin. Whereas for Mammon, Hodas Baldin is going to work because presumably it's not a Chav L'Achrini, or in most cases, it's not a Chav L'Achrini. Then the Gemara says, okay, asks a question, do we need Eide Kiyam for Mammon? Or not? Right? Let the case that the Gemara is wondering about is, let's say you have two people who they decide they want to split something. They want to, like, you know, have a partnership on something. But do they have to have Edim there? Or could they just say, no, we trust each other. We don't need Edim. We know that everything's going to be okay. Everyone here involved in this deal is a kosher, great Jew. We don't need Edim to be a raya to ensure that everything is going to happen in the best way possible. We trust each other. So the Gemara says, do you need Edim in such a case? And the Gemara says, no, lo ibrei sahadi, el l'shakre. The purpose of Edim in cases of mamon are just to prevent lying. And if you therefore want to risk it, if you want to hedge your bets, and you trust this person that he's not going to lie, so we don't require Edim. I.e., the Gemara says, you don't need Edim, l'kiyam hadavar. Right? Edikiyam would mean that you do need them. It's not about lying if you hold Edikiyam are necessary. It's about having this Maisa impacted and transformed into a certain Chalos. But the Gemara is saying, no, that's not what Edim do in a case of Mamon. The Edim's purpose for Mamon is just to make sure no one's lying. And no one's going to lie in this case. You want to hedge your bets? Go right ahead. So that's the Gemara. And there are really two ways to read this Gemara. Because the Gemara had a Hav Amina. And then it rejected that Hav Amina. So how do we understand that Shaka V'Tarya? The Gemara's Hav Amina was to compare Mamon to Kiddushin. The Gemara says, could I be Mekadesh Be'id Achad? The Gemara says, yeah, there's a Hekesh between Mamon and Kiddushin. So we could compare Mamon to Kiddushin, right? And then the Gemara says, no. Hodas Bal Din is different for Mamon than it is by Kiddushin, because there's a Chav L'Achrini in Kiddushin. So the Hav Amina, according to one way of reading the Gemara, is to link Mamon and Kiddushin and say that just like all you need when it comes to Mamon in cases of Dine Mamonos is a Raya, so the same thing is true of Kiddushin. All I need is some sort of Raya to know that something took place. Just like Dine Mamonos, so too for Kiddushin. And then the Gemara says, no, you can't say Hodas Bal Din for Kiddushin, Chav L'Achrini. But that doesn't have to reject our initial Hav Amina. That might just mean, yeah, you thought, just like in Dine Mamonos, you could hedge your bets, just like the Gemara says in the conclusion, all you need is a Raya, a Birur, of what took place, and if you want, you could risk it, if you trust this person you're doing the deal with. So we thought the same thing for Kiddushin, to which the Gemara answers, no, you can't go that far, you can't just risk Kiddushin, you can't just say Hodas Baal Din's going to work. If you say, oh yeah, let the Baal say that they're married, and now they're married, we don't allow that. It's Chav L'Achrini, right? This is affecting other people. And since it's affecting other people, there needs to be more of a guaranteed Biror, which was the Lashon we used. The Raya is more than is necessary for Dine Mamonos, but it's still a Raya nonetheless. It's just a higher threshold of Raya because other people are being affected. But it's not a fundamental rejection of the Hav Amina, which is to link Kiddushin and Dine Mamonos together. We're just saying, if you're not fully in control of your circumstances, you need a more guaranteed raya, a more guaranteed birur. And then the Gemara says, and this, you know, you don't need edekiyam for dine mamonos. That's the conclusion. All we care about is raya. There's no such thing essentially as edekiyam. However, there is another way to read the Gemara. The other way to read the Gemara is that the Hav Amina was there should be a connection between mamonos and ishus. And then the Gemara says, no. Hodas Baal Din is not going to work for Kiddushin because of Chav L'Achrini. So what does that mean? Maybe Chav L'Achrini isn't a way of saying, this is not in your control, you don't have bailus over this, and therefore we can't just rely on your ne'emanus, we need a more guaranteed birur coming externally. That's not what it means. It means that what you're doing is a transformation. Chav L'Achrini, you're affecting other people. This Kiddushin is going to have impact. It's going to ripple beyond just the two of you. Or it's at least beyond just yourself. It's going to affect her. It's going to affect Kuli Alma. So if that's the case, you can't just rely on you. You need Edim. Not just rely. Sorry, that's the wrong word. It's not just we can't rely on you. You can't just affect that change by yourself. You need a Kiyam. You need Edim Kiyam on the Maisa because you're trying to be Yotzer. You're trying to create a Chalos. And since you're trying to create a Chalos, it can't all just be on you. You need Edim there as a presence, as Rav Rosenzweig kept saying, a solemnizing presence to make sure, not just to make sure, but to really create this new reality. And maybe that's what the Gemara means. And then in the next line, the Gemara asks, consistent with that approach, what about Edekiyam on Dine Mamonos? I.e., we just concluded there's something called Edekiyam for Ishus. Do we need that for Mamonos also? Then the Gemara says, no, we don't go that far. But it confirms the way of reading the Gemara before by asking that question. So those are the two ways of reading the Gemara, and really the two perspectives we could have on Eidei Kiyum. One is, because everyone agrees, let's just back up for a second, everyone agrees that there is some concept of Eidim on, to be Mekayim something, to be Mekayim Milsa. We see that in other Gemaras, it does come up. But the question is, how do we look at that? Is it just their presence is more of a guaranteed Biror, it's a better way of serving as a Raya to know what happened beyond the shadow of a doubt? Or is it much more than that? Is it that their presence is going to help create a new reality? And that through them being there, this chalos is going to ensue. Is that clear? Right? There's two different ways. Okay, any questions? Good. Okay. So now, let's get into the third section. Some shitos. So we said that according to Rabbeinu Tam, even if Rav Meir holds Eidei Chasim Akarsi, he needs Eidei Kiyum for Ishus because of Davar Sheba Erva. So Rav Rosenzweig wanted to suggest that it sounds like implicitly for Rabbeinu Tam, we need Eidei Kiyum. We're reading the Gemara in that second way, that there needs to be a presence. Even if you have Eidei Chasima, even if you have a good Raya, Eidei Chasim aren't a presence, right? They're not there. At least that's Rabbeinu Tam's assumption. And therefore, you need actual Eidim to be there, who are going to witness what happened in order to be that presence. And even if you hold a Rav Meir, that's not going to help us forego the need for Eidei Kiyum. And then the question is, so how do the Rif and the Rambam respond to that? Because the Rif and the Rambam, they hold that even if you hold Eidei Mesira Karsi for Rav Elazar, Eidei Chasima work, which means that they're the parallel opposite. They think you could just have Eidei Chasima even for the Man D'Amar who holds Eidei Mesira Karsi. So what do they say? When they say Eidei Chasima work, what does that mean? Rabbeinu Tam is saying, even if you hold Eidei Chasima, you still need Eidei Kiyum, you still need a presence. But the Rif and the Rambam say, no, you could just have Eidei Chasima, that's enough. You could be Karsi with just Eidei Chasima alone. So what is that perspective? So either you could say, they read the Gemara the first way, that you don't need Eidei Kiyum, you don't need, in the presence way of looking at it, you don't need a solemnizing presence, you don't need people to actually view what happened, you just need a really good Birur. And if all you need is a really good, guaranteed, strong Birur, a good Raya, so then Eidei Chasima are enough. Maybe Ein Lecha Birur Gadol Mizu, you have people signing this document, they're going to be there forever. Perfect. Or, alternatively, you could say, no, really, what the Rif and the Rambam hold is that they read the Gemara the second way. You do need a presence of Eidim, but Eidei Chasima, the Chiddush to them, is that Eidei Chasima are that presence. Okay, so really these are all implicit shitas. It's unclear which way they hold, but it definitely seems to be connecting to our larger framework. So again, Rabbeinu Tam seems to be reading the Gemara in this fundamental way. You need Eidei Kiyum as a presence. And the Rif and Rambam could either say, no, we don't, they just don't agree with that assumption altogether. You don't need a presence, right? All you need is a Birur. Or they might hold, no, you do need a presence, but Eidei Chasima suffice as that presence. Yeah, Stephen.
You can't say this for the Rambam, but you can also say that you don't need Eidei Kiyum for Gerushin. Eidei Kiyum for Kiddushin is a presence. In general, it's a presence, but you can hold that you don't need Eidei Kiyum for Gerushin.
Right, I guess you could theoretically hold that one. Yeah.
Why are we saying that Rambam Tam has to hold up the second era? And can't he also say that it's just not a good enough?
So you're saying like the Ramban or something, like the Akvarim. You could, right? That's what I said, like implicitly. I think Rav Rosenzweig agreed. Like this is not as explicit as we'll discuss in a minute. Like the Ritva / Ra'ah and the Rashba or the Ketos. Like it's not as explicit. But I think implicitly you could suggest it. But you're right. It could very well be that as well.
It's about as good as it gets. It's true that you can have marginally better Raya, but I mean, Derisa, you're going to say that this strong Raya wouldn't be enough?
Right. I think, like...
What is the Ramban saying on the Derisa level that you need
to know? Right. I think, like, initially, our assumption is always going to be that Eidei Chasima are a better Raya. You could chip away at that, but I think most logically is that it is a better Raya. Like, as our first first assumption. You could then say, no, but maybe Eidim is here also, but like that's more of like the Mechudash way of looking at it, I think. Yeah.
I'm seeing why it was the next meeting, the next line, the line of Kedushin meeting.
The second way?
Yeah, the second way. Because you mean that off that line also plays the first way?
Yeah. It does work according to both ways. But like, I think the point is, Rebbe was, I thought, showing how, why is the Gemara asking that? Like, where does that come from? All of a sudden, the Gemara is like, oh, do you need Eidei L'Kiyum? It's like the first time, the first time the word like Eidei Kiyum comes up, which is a phrase that Achron and then pick up on, is that Gemara. So why? Where does it come from? The Gemara on top didn't seem to be focusing on Eidei Kiyum. And the answer is, yeah, it was actually. I think that was his point. And then we're saying, yeah, but not for Mammon. I don't think we're saying this only fits well with the second version of the Gemara, and I don't think it's like a raya muchracha, so that's how you read the Gemara. I just think it's like a nice ha'ara, which adds to the reading, that like all of a sudden the Gemara brings up this seemingly random, like, yibay lahu kind of question. And it's like, where did that come from? Like, what motivated that question? You're right, like, at the end of the day, the answer and even the question itself fits with the first way of reading the Gemara. But I think, like, the fact that the Gemara is asking it, and it does seem to be, like, more kiyum-oriented versus raya, right? It's like lo ibri sahade el shakre. That seems like a raya. So then, like that, you know, consequently means that the kiyum form is like more of like a kiyum as a presence. So it seems like that would fit with the second view, maybe a little better. But you're right; it doesn't have to. I just think it's like a ha'ara. Yeah. Any other questions? Nope. Okay. So that's right. Again, two ways to read the Gemara, and then you have like Rabbeinu Tam and like the riff in the Rambam. But then, like, as, you know, Noam was touching on, we had some more explicit shitas after that. So we had the Ritva, who quotes the Ra'ah, and we said that's the strongest formulation of Eidei Kiyum for Ishus. And he gave all these different cases, or two different cases, the Mino Eidus and the Eidei Machore HaGeder, where he says, like, you really need a presence. You need the Eidei Kiyum. It's the strongest formulation. And he says very explicitly, in the name of the Ra'ah, that if you don't have those Eidei Kiyum for Kiddushin, it's not a marriage. It doesn't work. If there's not a presence of Eidim there, even if they're nearby, but they don't see what happens, it's not Kiddushin. It doesn't matter. Which we said, from a Ra'ah point of view, isn't going to really hold up. That's not going to make sense. But from an Eidei Kiyum as a presence view, that's perfect. And it does make a lot of sense. Yes? Right, so I think we said no, because it's like...
Even if they're watching behind
them? No, if they can see what happened, then maybe.
I don't know if that means the people doing the Kedushin, they can't see them.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But the Eidim still see.
If the Eidim, yeah, if... Right, but I think...
Yeah,
but if they don't, like, see,
it,
yeah.
Right, it doesn't, like, it's not like a presence to the action if, like, you don't know that people are there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's more like for them to focus that.
I don't think it would. I mean, this is not like implicit. Like, he says it like very explicitly. Like, you need Eidei Kiyum. They need to be a presence. They need to like be on the Maisa. I think like Zach said. Yeah. You could disagree with the Ra'ah, but that's certainly what the Ra'ah holds. But certainly, like, other Rishonim would maybe disagree with that, because they might have a different perspective. And then, so that was, you know, we had the Ritva, the Ra'ah. And then we had, in terms of the Rishonim, we also had the Rashba, who we saw, he talks about, we'll get to it, where, you know, the Rashba is coming from, like, what issues he's talking about. You know, he's concerned with Chavlachrini. He talks about Ksav Yad for Kiddushin versus Gerushin, but just to note his shita, we said that the tone of the Rashba certainly indicates that he believes that the Eidim for Kiddushin are more similar to some sort of like Eidei Biror. He certainly, all of his questions, we noted, were motivated by a connection between like Mammon and Ishus. He says like, oh, if Mammon is this, what about Ishus? And it seems like he very much is not willing to be machalic between them in such a fundamental way. And he really compares the two multiple times. And so we wanted to say that he's not as extreme as saying, I'll say it like this. There's really like kind of like two extremes and like a middle ground, which we'll discuss more when we get to the Rambam. But it's important just to say now, which is that one extreme is like when it comes to Edei Kiyum, they're just a biror, they're a raya, they don't really affect this chalos. And then there's another extreme, which is like, no, without them, like you don't have anything. They need to be there in order to like really initiate this transformation. And then in the middle, it's yes, you need their presence. You don't just require a raya, we still require people to be there, but their presence is giving us a very guaranteed birur. So it's like kind of in between. Like it's gonna, meaning the nafkamina is gonna be something like Edei Chasima. Right? So if you like, are Edei Chasima gonna work? So if you think, yeah, all we need is a raya and the people are the raya, so then Edei Chasima could also be a raya. If you think, no, we really require like the people to be there to like initiate this transformation, so then of course Edei Chasima aren't gonna work. And then in the middle, if you think the people, the Edim who are there, are still part of this Birur, so then Edei Chasima, that could get a little murky, because it's like, well, depends how you look at Edei Chasima. But you could see how there's a difference in those three perspectives from that. Yeah?
Can you explain the middle perspective again?
We'll talk about it more when we get to the Rambam, but like the middle perspective is like, it's like, you need a Birur, and it's a combination of the two extremes, I guess. Like you need a Edei Kiyum to guarantee a raya, but it's not as like explicitly only biror or only people being there. And I think it'll make more sense. It's a little abstract. It'll make more sense when we talk about the difference between kiddushin and gerushin for the Rambam. I think that's like really where we drew it out. Yeah.
When we talk about like the Edei Kiddushin as or Gerushin as Edei Biror, we're still saying that they are like Ma'akim, the Kinyan, right? It's just that meaning is it for the purposes of
exactly. That was like what I was trying to, like everyone agrees you need Edim as like some sort of Kiyam, just the question is how are we looking at them,
yeah.
For sure. And that's gonna affect we'll see the Nafkaminas in a second. I think that'll make things a lot more clear. Just right now, we're going to go through these shitas, and it might be a little abstract, but hopefully in a minute, things will be more concrete. So the last thing was just in the Achronim. So we mentioned the Ktos, who says that Hodas Bal Din is the equivalent of Eidos, in a way, but it's not going to be like something as strong as Trey V'Trey, for example. And so we said, even for the Ktos, if you want to take a very maximalist view on Hodas Bal Din, that's never going to equal presence of Edim. And so that's a very important perspective for our purposes because it's going to be a nafkamina. If you need a presence, so then Hodas Bal Din can never qualify for that. But if all you need is a raya, and Hodas Bal Din could be an edus, so then great, that's totally sufficient. And then we quoted also the last Achron of Rav Chaim, who also had a very strong view, we noted, of Edei Kiyum, similar to the Ra'ah, Edei Kiyum as like a presence, a very strong need for that presence. The difference between like Das and Ratzon, we said, and we know, like we quoted it outside, but a very famous piece of Rav Chaim in like Hilchos Yibum and Chalitza about Gadol Omid Al Gabov. We didn't really go through it, so Ayin Sham. But okay, the main point is that Rav Chaim also holds like the Ra'ah and the Ritva that you require a strong presence of Edei Kiyum in order to have Ishus. Okay, so now let's get into some of the Nafkaminos before we get to the final part, which is the Rambam. So we had a lot of Nafkaminos, a lot. So let's go through each one slowly, and if anyone has any questions, just let me know. So the first Nafkamina is, how do we understand Chav L'Achrini? There's a machlokas between the Rashi and the Rashba. But what does Chav L'Achrini mean? The Gemara says Kiddushin is going to be different than Dine Mamonos. Hodas Bal Din is not going to work because it's Chav L'Achrini. And it doesn't explain what Chav L'Achrini is. Chav L'Achrini, it means some sort of negative thing for other people, but it's very vague. So Rashi says, yeah, what's Chav Lachrini? Chav Lachrini is that now this woman is Asr L'Krovim. So those Krovim are affected. They can't marry this woman anymore. Now that she let's say you have woman, what was the Stephanie, Rav Rodenzweig used earlier in the year, right? So you have Stephanie marries Baruchav. That was Rav Rodenzweig's name to use in the Ben Noach example. So we'll bring them back. So you have Stephanie and Baruchav. And so she marries Baruchav. Can't marry any of his relatives anymore. So that's a Chav Lachrini for those people. Right? No, it's Baruchav. No. He always, at least when it comes to Geirus. He always said Bartholomew becomes Baruchav. That's his name of choice for some reason. I don't know why. But I think it's based on like, I'm not sure. Okay, we'll talk about it later. We could theorize later. Fine. So Rashi says that this woman is now Asr L'Krovim, and that's the Chav Lachrini. But the Rashba raises an important question, and he says, wait a second. If you say, Rashi, that the Chav Lachrini is that she's Asr L'Krovim, or that the Krovim now become Asr to her, so you're not covering all your bases. What about a case of a Ger and a Gioris? What about, I guess I chose a bad example. What about a case of a Ger and a Gioris? Let's say this Ger and Gioris get married. They don't have any relatives. So there's no Chav Lachrini, so Adas Baldin is going to work. You could be Mekanish Beit Achlad in that case. We don't find any Gemaras or Rishonim that hold that way. That'd be ludicrous. Or what about someone who doesn't have any Krovim? They're both only, the only people in their family. So what? Now you say Mekanish Beit Achlad is going to work because there's Adas Baldin, since there's no Chav Lachrini in that case. And the Rashba says, and don't tell me Lo Plug. Because in Mammon we see that Hodas Baldin depends on if there's Chav Lachrini in that case or not. And it goes back and forth. It could be a sliding scale. So what's the answer for Rashi? What are they arguing about? So we suggested that maybe Rashi's understanding of Chav Lachrini is based on this second view of the Gemara, the second way of reading the Gemara. Meaning if you say that what is Chav Lachrini? It's a shiur, it's an indication that there's a transformation taking place, right? It's a way of showing and highlighting, yeah, there's a new chalos. Something is happening here. There's a new reality that's going to be. And so it doesn't matter if lemaisa, there's a chav lachrini in every single case, right? Meaning, according to Rashi, saying this woman is also the krovim is an indication that something is taking place, something is happening, other people are being affected, there's a ripple effect. And therefore, you need a way of initiating that with Edekiyam, a solemnizing presence. So it doesn't matter that if that's only true in 98% of cases, and a Ger and a Gioris, they don't have any relatives. No, it doesn't matter, because it's not about Lemaisa, it's about an indication of something much greater. As opposed to the Rashba, who we said this fits in with the Rashba in general, who has a much more Birur-oriented perspective, right? The Rashba is saying, if it's not Chav Lachrini in every case, it's not going to be good enough to be considered Chav Lachrini. Because according to the Rashba, Chav Lachrini is Lamaisa, right? Chav Lachrini is, it's a shiur in Ne'emanus, right? It's a way of indicating whether you have bilus over the din or not. So if there's going to be a case where there is no Chav Lachrini, then in that case I should be the bile over the davar to have Ne'emanus. And therefore, Mekadosh Be'en Achad should work. So the Rashba says, no, I need a different Chav Lachrini. And the Rashba says the Chav Lachrini is that she's also the Kulei Alma. Right? So that would be a way of understanding this Machlokas, which fits in very beautifully with everything we've said so far in our framework section. So that's the first Nafkamina. Is that good? Okay. Second Nafkamina. Do you need Edekiyam for Nisuin? So the Or Sameach asks this question, because we know you need Edekiyam for Kiddushin. But what about Nisuin? The Rambam doesn't mention it, and it seems to be up to question. So the Or Sameach says, he has a long piece, how am I going to figure out whether we need Edekiyam for Nisuin or not? So he goes to the Sugya, he says, well, when do you need Edekiyam? When there's a Chav Lachrini, perfect. So let me just figure out, is there a Chav Lachrini for Nisuin? Is there more of an Isser between Kiddushin and Nisuin? If there's more of a Chav Lachrini, then Edekiyam would be required. And if not, Edekiyam are not required. So that's his predilection, and that's how he tries to figure out. He's, you know, it's like a chemistry experiment, it, you know, trying to combine the different factors to come up with the answer. But we said that maybe that's not such a good experiment, that's not such a good litmus test, because even if you could find the Chav L'Achrini between Kiddushin and Nisuin, that's not really going to determine whether Eid HaKiyam are necessary. The determinant of whether Eid HaKiyam are necessary is there a transformation taking place? Is there a Yetziras HaChalos? So there might be a Chav L'Achrini, but if you say that Nisuin is not a, it's not a new Chalos, it's just a, an Oser, or a Matir, however you want to look at it, we said according to different Rishonim earlier in the year, so you don't need Eid HaKiyam. Even if you could find a Chav L'Achrini, Chav L'Achrini is just a catchword for something bigger. And so, even if you have a Chav L'Achrini, it might not matter. That's what it could be. No, like we said, from the Raya perspective, then maybe Chav L'Achrini would matter. But if you're taking that more fundamental view of reading the Gemara, so then it doesn't matter if there's a Chav L'Achrini or not, because it really depends on is there a Yetziras HaChalos or not. Yes, Noam.
I don't really understand this point, because isn't the way we're reading the Gemara answers Chav L'Achrini, we're saying that Chav L'Achrini is indicative of a transformation, so why is it so crazy that you'd be looking for a Chav L'Achrini, which would then indicate a transformation?
Who asked this during Shir? Someone asked this during Shir. I knew once you raised your hand that that was going to be the question you asked. I think this bothered a lot of people.
Repeat the question.
The question basically is like, we're like kind of working backwards, I guess, or being like, we're being inaccurate in our read of the Gemara, because it sounds like the connection is, there's always a connection between Chav L'Achrini and a transformation. Meaning like, once we start saying that really what matters isn't the Chav L'Achrini, but the real determinant is the transformation, the Yetzir Sachalo, so then why did the Gemara not just say that? Oh, I think it was Asher Wilner asked that. Like, why didn't we just say that explicitly? And I don't know if there's a good answer or like a convincing answer to that. It could be that's like the, you know, the nail in the coffin. You could say, fine, that's not the right way to read the Gemara. I think, though, you could just say we're reconstructing. The Gemara says Chav L'Achrini, and it's definitely a convincing read to say that Chav L'Achrini is really an indication of something bigger.
I'm asking the flip side of that question. I mean, once you say that, so then how can you say then that the Or Sameach is clearly understanding it the first way? I mean, if you're saying that the way to read the Gemara is Chav L'Achrini is indicative of a transformation, so maybe the Chav L'Achrini that he's looking for, he would see as an indication.
But no, because then that's what Ravon's like saying. Like, that's a different question. So I think that you could answer by saying, even if he's looking for a Chav L'Achrini, it doesn't mean he's looking. If really you understood Chav L'Achrini as like an indication of something much bigger, so then you don't need to. Either you don't need to find Chav L'Achrini, you could just find the Yetzir Sachalos itself. Or you should say, like, I'm looking for a Chav L'Achrini in order to find something much bigger. It happens to be, I will say, that in my own mind, when we said that Or Sameach during Shir, I was like, oh, that's amazing. That really confirms the way we're reading the Gemara, because it's like, yeah, why is he looking for a Chav L'Achrini? Oh, Chav L'Achrini is like a great indication of a transformation. But then Rav Rosenzweig said this point, and it was also very convincing to show that just because you're looking for a Chav L'Achrini doesn't necessarily mean that you're reading the Gemara in the second way, because then you should have been either saying, I'm looking for some sort of transformation, or you should have said, I'm looking for a Chav L'Achrini as an indication of something. You know, meaning I'll say it just more simply, I'm sorry if I'm not being clear, he should have just said, yes, Nisuin needs Eid HaKiyam because it's a transformation. That's what he should have said if he was rereading the Gemara that way. But he doesn't say that. And so it sounds like he's reading the Gemara more like the first way, which is that Chav L'Achrini is really just a connection to like your Nat Manas. That would be how I would answer that question. Good? Okay. So that's the second Nafkamina. Do we need Eid HaKiyam for Nisuin? The third nafkamina is, what about psule edus midirabanan? Meaning, let's say you have someone who's mesachik bekuvia. Nothing wrong with him midoraisa, but the mishnahs tell us that we're not going to be makabel that edus, right? There's nothing wrong. He's not like a psul begavra. Like there's nothing that fundamentally disqualifies him. It's just midirabanan. We don't accept his edus. So Would that be good enough as Eidei Kiyum? If two people come in and they're pasul midrabanan, is that good enough as Eidei Kiyum? So it depends. If you need a raya, if Eidei Kiyum are providing a raya, so then no, pasul midrabanan is pasul. We can't rely on that as a raya. They're not makabel be'edus in Beis Din. But if you say, no, we require a presence, so that maybe you could be mechalik between the gavra and the kabbalas edus. The gavra is still a gavra aid. He's still there. He's still a presence on the maisa. Just, we're not makabel the edus as a raya in Beis Din. And so if you make that chiluk, maybe that would be good enough as a Eidei Kiyum from a presence perspective. Yes, Steve.
Why would Absul D'Oraisa
Because then I think once you say this Psul D'Oraisa, you're not even like a Gavra 8 anymore. It's like a Hafkas. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. It's like Kimisha Eino. Kind of like we saw earlier in like a Tosos this year. Okay. So that's the third Nafkamina, right? Gotta keep track. There's a lot. A few more. Okay. So we did them like rapid fire. It was awesome. So... what about Ra Echad Mechalon Zeh VeEchad Mechalon Zeh? Right? It's Gemara Makos. Right? The two people witness the same event, but they don't, they're not mitzarif with each other because they're separate. So is that good enough as Eidei Kiyum? So from a Raya perspective, yes. This is a form of Eidus Miuchedus, it's called. So that's this Eidus Miuchedus, that's good enough. Because do you have two people witnessing the Maisa? Yeah. So do you have a Raya? For sure. Right? But if you need a presence, so then it's very possible that that presence is only there if you have a kat edus, a halachic kat of edim. And so without that, edus miyuchedas is going to be a problem. That's a fourth nafkamina. The fifth nafkamina is, what about halva acher halva? Right? This is another like interesting form of edus. Right? You see, two people see the same thing, but it's different things. Meaning, let's say I lend Stephen $100, and one person sees it earlier in the day, and later on someone sees the same maisa many hours later, me lending Stephen $100, right? So is that going to be good enough as Eidei Kiyum? If those two people come to court and say, you know, we saw this, so let's say it would be a kiddushin case, right? It's like two separate maisa kiddushins at different points of the day, but two Edim witness the two separate Maises. So they mitzarif to tell us that this woman is now married to the man? Yeah.
We see that for things other than Hava, where it's not just the guy proving that the guy owes $50. Like, you can't marry the same woman twice.
Right, I was kind of wondering that myself. I think that kind of is like the point. I mean, like, I think that already is the answer to the question. I mean, for Halva, the point is the hischaivos. So I could establish hischaivos because at the end of the day, like, it doesn't matter. Like, there are edim who saw that Stephen owes money, right? But when it comes to kiddushin, like, no, that's, these two people aren't going to be mitzarif because, like, they weren't two people on a single maisa kiddushin. I think that's kind of is the answer.
It doesn't have to be because you need a presence. It could be because there is no hischaivos to prove.
Right. Exactly. Meaning they are proving. You do have eight echads coming in. This one eight echad saying, I saw my kiddushin. Another eight echad says, I saw my kiddushin, right? So, now what? Is that two eidim on a mice? And now we could say, you have two eidim on, okay, it might have been two separate mice kiddushins, but I have, at the end of the day, a combination of two eidim with a mice kiddushin. So that's Makadesh, right?
There it's physically impossible for
the two kiddushins. Okay, I shouldn't have said the example. I shouldn't have said the case the way I said it. Meaning, let's say the case is I have two eid achads. One came in and said, I saw Maisa Kiddushin. And then you have another eid achad says, I saw Maisa Kiddushin. Right? So, the point is, like, we're not trying to figure out, like, okay, did he do two Maisa Kiddushin? The point is, now I have a combination of eid achad, and at least one Maisa Kiddushin. So do we say, great, you have two Eidim and a Maisa Kiddushin? You kind of like do this patchwork to create a Maisa Kiddushin? Because that's so we're saying for Mamon, yeah. You have one Eid Achad saying, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it as like a real, pretend it's, we're in Beis Din. And all you see, one Eid Achad comes and says, I saw Stephen lend Josh $100, or Josh lend Stephen $100. Another Eid Achad says, I saw Josh lend Stephen $100, right? So at the end of the day, we have two Eidim on Josh loaned Steven $100, right? Does it matter like that there were two separate? No, because I have two Edim and they're both on one Hischaibus. But Kiddushin is not about Hischaibus, right? I need presence on a Maisa Kiddushin. And so we don't have that in that case. That's really the point. We said you could entertain, for those who think that everything's about a raya, we could entertain that maybe the eight echads would be enough. It's still mechudash to say that, because, like you said, maybe it's just a hischaivos, and for kiddushin that's not going to work. But at least you could entertain it. If you think though we need eight kiyam as a presence, for sure you're not going to entertain any of that. That was really the nafkamina. But I think it is like connected to that question.
And the Ron, right?
The Ron, which Ron?
It.
Yeah, but then yeah, exactly.
He said that because I just don't understand how he rejected it. So it's like, but no, because it's connected to the Pashos. So what does that mean?
I think that was a different point. That was like, did I put that here? About the riff that quotes the Tosafta.
Yeah, that's this.
I'm saying I didn't put the. Yeah, so the riff. Sorry, just to mention, the riff does talk about it. He quotes the Tosafta. I think the Rashba said that no, it must be that in that case, the way that would work is that it's the Edom are testifying that there were two witnesses, right? That's the Rashba's way of getting out of it. And I think the Ran ends up saying no, it doesn't work because it's like connected to Dina and Nefashos. Yeah.
So what does that mean? The connection to
Dina
and
Nefashos? I think that we were saying, right, because what is the... Sorry. Wait, here, let me just find the Ran. Yeah. I think the Ran says that it'll... Yeah, I think the Ran was trying to figure out, or he was trying to say that it was like this scale, where you have like Mammon on one side and like Nefashos on the other side. And the question is like, is Ishos closer to Mammonos or Nefashos? Because for Nefashos... Right, obviously, halva achar halva or something like that isn't going to work because we said this earlier in the year. Edus miuchedes could create a hischaivos, but nefashos is not just about creating a hischaivos, right? So the Ran says no, ishus is closer to nefashos, and so it's not just about meaning. It's not just about creating a hischaivos. It's about something much more, which actually it connects to something we said explicitly earlier in the year, which I think was very exciting. And also, I think Rav Rosenzweig was saying like, it's interesting. Like, you could have just said Ishus is Ishus. You don't have to necessarily say that it's connected to Nefashos. It sounds like had Ishus not been connected to Nefashos, you would have entertained Edus Miuchedes. But the Ran concludes otherwise anyway. But fine. Still, that was still an important makor. Okay, makor. So depending on your sprach. Anyway, so. Is this the last nafkamina? No, two more nafkaminas. Okay, so the second to last nafkamina is, how are we doing on time? Pretty good. So we have Eidos Umdana, right? An Eidos of a Yediya below Re'iya, right? Like the Shimon ben Shetach case, Rebbe likes to quote. You see the guy saying, I'm going to kill you, and then he has a bloody knife and this guy dead on the floor, but you didn't actually see the Ritzicha. What? It's dripping with blood. Yeah, he gets very... He likes to get very vivid with the Shimon ben Shetach case. Very... little like Edgar Allan Poe style. Like, it's very... Yeah. Maybe that's his inspiration to be, like, very poetic. I don't know. But he likes to get very vivid with the Shimon ben Shetach case. So, fine. Let's say you have Yediya below Re'iya, right? So, an example we quoted of Ishus having, like, a... An Eidos of Eidos Umdana is Kedushe Bia. For Kedushe Bia, certainly the Edom are not seeing the Maisa Bia. Like what happens? They see like some sort of like chuppah, maybe some, and then they, or I don't even know, you don't even need a chuppah, whatever. They see something, and then they go in, like, oh, yeah, we're going to get married, woo. And then they go into this, or we're going to do Maisa Kedushin, yeah. And then they go in this room together and they close the door. And then what? The Edom don't see the Bia. So how could you have Edom on Bia? So the Gemara says, "Hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide bia." That the eide yichud become the eidim on the bia. So how does that work halachically? So we said that there are three understandings of hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide bia. these were just three understandings, and only one of them was important for what we're talking about, but it's just important to mention. So one understanding I think we mentioned from Rav Lichtenstein is that Kiddushei Bia is just different than all other forms of Eidos for Kiddushin, meaning Kesef and Shtar are very transactional. They're more Dine Mamunos, they're Choshen Mishpat, and therefore, in order to turn them into something which is Ishus related, we need Eidim in order to tell us and inform us that, no, this is like a Maiso Kiddushin. Yitzir Sachalos. But Kiddushei Bia is Ishus. And so really what that perspective is saying is like, you don't really need Eidim. The Eidei Yichud are enough because the Bia itself doesn't really require Eidos to transform it into something from something Mamoni into something, I guess, like Ishuti, if that's a word. I don't know. Sounds like something Rav Rosenzweig would say. But yeah, okay. He didn't use those exact words, but I think that's good. Okay, so that's one answer. The second answer is that sometimes something is like so strongly implied that the pre-stage of it is like the Tchilas Hamaisa itself, right? That like they're going in the room. We all know what's going to happen. You know, they're going in the room together. Everyone knows what's going to happen in there, and therefore, like the Tchilas Hamaisa is the Eidos on the Maisa itself. A third answer, though, is that not all umdanas are created equal. Not all umdanas are the same. Sometimes in umdana, and I guess this connects to the second view, but sometimes an umdana is prospective, and sometimes an umdana is retrospective. Meaning, sometimes an umdana is an assumption of what's going to happen, and sometimes an umdana is a reflection on what happened. Right? So for example, you quoted like the Tshuva Sarashba, you see a guy saying like, oh, I really want to marry this woman with this esrog, and he has like this huge esrog, and it's beautiful, and oh, I'm going to do kiddushin with it. And then the woman all of a sudden walks out of the, and you just hear his voice, you don't see him. And then all of a sudden a woman walks out of like this huge, beautiful esrog. So now what? Are they married? Was that like a maisa kiddushin? Is he giving her that as like a shava pruta to be mekadosher? Right? So in that case, that's retrospective. We don't know what happened. We can't project what happened. We could reconstruct after the fact. Right, there's like a latest hasafik, and now we could be machria that suffik by saying, oh, he probably was the one who handed her the esrog he was talking about because we find it in her hands, and therefore they're probably married, right? But that's certainly a case where there's a latest hasafik, and we have to be machria what happened. But maybe sometimes you have an umdanon where you're projecting, right? And it's not looking back, but looking forward. So for example, this Bia case might be a great way, a great example of that, because there's no leidas hasafik of what happened and then after the fact trying to be machria. We know what's about to happen. It's kind of like the second perspective. Like it's so strongly implied that it's like the Eidim are there on the Tchilas Maisa itself. There's never a question about what's about to happen, right? And so the Umduna is leading into the actual event itself. Right, it's not that we don't know what happened and now we have to reconstruct. It's like we know it's about to happen, right? And so maybe in that, from that point of view, that's something that could expand to other forms of Eidos Umdana, right? When you're projecting, so then the Eidim, what would we say? Are the Eidim then a presence? So maybe, because the Eidim, when you're projecting, they are seeing the Tchilas HaMaisa. Maybe that carries over into the Maisa itself. Maybe there's like a continuum between the Tchilas HaMaisa and the Maisa when you're projecting something, right? We know what's about to happen. And therefore, that's good enough to be Eidei Kiyum as a present. Yeah, Yaakov.
I don't really understand the difference between, before we started, that one person painting
that
Tchilas HaMaisa, Tchilas HaMaisa, and now we're saying production.
Yeah,
production either sounds like Tchila, or it just sounds like we don't, it's something that we just pretend to know.
Right, I think the difference is like, just like how strong you're going. Like, I think the second perspective is like, okay, for Eidos on Bia is so strongly implied that it's unique, but we wouldn't necessarily like expand that to other forms, other umdanas, because like how many umdanas are going to be like that strong? But I think like this third perspective, which is like the difference between retrospective and prospective or projective, is an explanation where we can then expand it to like other forms of Eidos. You hear what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's very unintuitive. It's hard to understand why that would be affecting Jesus. If you're saying to us, my son, you're saying it almost seems to my son itself, then I can hear that. What you're saying is just, it's really is just an internet. You don't actually know.
No, so that's what, so again, at the end of the day, I think like both the second and third perspective are saying like the Edim are there on the Techilas HaMaisa, and then there's like a continuum that carries over into like the rest of the Maisa. I do think that that's true in both the second and third understanding, but the difference is that the explanation in number two is that it's because the action is so strongly implied, and so that's not a good like. That's not something we could export to other things. Once we start saying, no, the different, when could we apply this like Techilas HaMaisa way of looking at Eidos HaMdinah? Well, if we expand it to like this prospective versus retrospective, it's much more broad, right? It's not just about like how strong the Umdinah is, it's like, no, what is the Umdinah, right? Is it looking back or is it looking forward? And so it's not just going to be on something so strong like Eidos Bia. Maybe even like other cases, it's going to apply too. You hear that? You hear the difference there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Noah.
I'm just confused by the last explanation. Like, how do you have some umdinas that are looking back and some that are looking forward? Meaning, are we looking at an umdina as, okay, we have a nafkamina now of this suffix.
Right.
We have to figure out what happened. But if that's a possibility, so how can you ever have a looking forward? There's a nafkamina whether these people are married, if they want to be, or if the kid's going to be a mamzer. So
right.
Wouldn't then we look back? How do you ever have looking forward?
I think, okay, so I hear the question. I think, like, a great way of painting, like, the difference is, like, when it comes to the Esro case, for example, we only see what happens after the fact, right? So certainly that's looking back, right?
Right.
Okay. So, like, a great way of showing the difference in hein eide yichud, hein eide bia, would be, like, the equivalent of the Esro case for bia would be if you see them come out of the room. And then you want to figure out what happened. But that's not what that is. We see them go into the room. That's very different.
Right, but was anyone asking before they went into the room, or as they go into the room?
I don't know why you're looking at it as just that from, like, a halachic nafkamina perspective. Like, lima freya...
When
it's when they go into the room.
But when else do we have to determine?
No. You're right. For halachic purposes, it's always going to be after something. We're not saying that it's not that there's no hachra after something happens. Of course, like it could be 10 years down the line. We're trying to figure out what happened 10 years ago, but that's not what retrospective versus prospective means, right? It's when does the actual Eidos take place, right? When is, or like, was there even, like, in like, all forms of Eidos really are like, necessary for, if you're using Eidos as a raya, it's always going to be after the fact, right? But when the Maisa actually took place, there's a big difference, because the Hachra in the Esro case was only after the Maisa, right? Whereas, if you're saying from a prospective perspective, so there was never a latest hasafik. You really had Edim on the whole thing.
There was a latest hasafik.
No. There might be a latest hasafik later on, but that's a different type of. You're conflating two different things, I think.
You're saying when we have.
You have an answer. Okay. Yeah.
I think Rebbe said that in the Esro case, if. It could be different if before she went into Esro, he told all his friends that I'm going to go be Mekadesh with Esro. So it's still a case of Eidos Umdinah, because they didn't see the actual Maisa Kedushin, but they were anticipating the Maisa Kedushin before it happened.
Exactly, yeah.
So when we have our Leidos HaSafik at the end of the day, the question is, in answering the HaSafik, are we starting from before the action or after the action?
Basically, yeah.
In Eidos Umdinah, the Eidim weren't there at the Maisa itself. But with the but we're trying to use Eidim who knew it happened. But we're trying to use Eidim who knew it happened only after the fact, or Edom that knew it happened before.
Exactly. And so if it's after the fact, I guess to be not confusing and simple as possible, if it's only after the fact, that's not a presence. That's the point. But if you say, no, the Edom are considered there before the act, then maybe that would even be good enough as a presence, even if they're not seeing the Bia, right? That's still considered a presence. because halachically their edus carries through the whole maisa, since they are there before the act as an umdina. Yeah. I think as a raya, we would say like even retrospective is enough, right? Because it's if you think umdina is strong enough. But, right, you could say like an edus umdina is just never strong enough raya for kiddushin, because like especially like if you think we need maybe that's like also a great. Well, again, when we were talking about like what's the difference between like maybe like the ktsos and the rashba versus like the, you know, totally technical raya way of reading edekiyam. So maybe that would be a good one, right? Like, if I think like I need a really strong biror with like a presence, so then maybe even edus umdina is not going to be good enough. But if all we need is just like some sort of raya, and it just happens to be edim usually suffice for that raya, but then maybe with just edus umdina I have that, right? Does that make sense? Do you guys hear that? Okay, we'll get to it in the Rambam in a second. Okay, so the last nafkamina before we get to the Rambam is ksav yad. So we spoke about ksav yad, and we know that the evidence is that ksav yad works for gerushin, right? There's mishnas about it. D'oraisa, ksav yad is going to be good enough, and Rashi and Tosfos definitely deal with that, right? Maybe it's some sort of like hodas baldin, or like, you know, Tosfos says like in lecha raya gedola mizu, in lecha chasima gedola mizu. So maybe it's like idi chasima, etc. But what about, or maybe we'll see some other possibilities of why ksav yad works in a second. But the question that the Rishonim deal with is, what about Kiddushin? The evidence on that is less clear. Does ksav yad work for Kiddushin or not? Yeah, shtar Kiddushin, right? So, like, let's say you have a shtar Kiddushin that the Baal wrote, and there are no edim on it. So do we say, oh, that's ksav yad, that works for Kiddushin, just like it does for Gerushin? Or do we say, no, that Kiddushin is different? So it depends. How do we look at ksav yad? So if ksav yad is considered a chasima, like Tosu says, in lecha chasima gdola mizu, so then great. That would work for Kiddushin too. Because edei chasima are good enough as like a raya, maybe. But if ksav yad for gerushin is like a gzeres hakasov, right? Or you're making a chasim, edei chasima are going to work according to Rebbe Lazar too, right? Yeah. Edi chasima karsi for Rav Elazar, according to the Rambam and the Rif, right, with the Ran. So, if we say that the chasima works for Gerushin, it's going to work for... That's, by the habits, just to mention, like, the Ramban uses that Mishnah as a Raya, right? He says, look, it sounds like Rav Elazar in that Mishnah on Pei Vav is okay with Ksav Yad, right?
We're not within a minute of time.
I don't think so, no. For Kiddush, no, I don't. No.
In the same focus for Edezirei Chasima applies to Kiddush.
I think, let's say, we're saying Rav Elazar allows for Edei Chasima, right? So what about for Kiddush, and what do you allow for that? Right? So what about Kiddush? So if you say, yeah, Ksav Yad is considered a Chasima, and Chasimos are good enough, either because you hold like the Ran, which is like, it is the Mesira, or like, whatever, just a simple reading of the riff, whatever it is, it's a chasima, it's a good raya, right? Edekiyam, it's good enough for Edekiyam too. All I need is a raya, so then great. But maybe you could take a different perspective, which is that, either you could say, no, Gerushin, the reason Ksav Yad works is that it's a Gzeres HaKasav, right? The Kasav Law. Or you could say, no, maybe Gerushin doesn't require Edekiyam at all. This is kind of like what you were saying earlier, right? Because there's no Chav Lachrini. That's what the Rashba says. So then you could distinguish between Gerushin and Kiddushin, meaning Kiddushin acquires Edei Kiyam. It's Chav Lachrini. Ksav Yad's not going to work. Why does it work for Gittin? Because there is no Chav Lachrini. So I don't need Edei Kiyam. That's what the Rashba says. Or you could say, no, just Gerushin is a Gzeres HaKasav. But if you say anything different than that, right, if we say, no, they both need Edei Kiyam, and Ksav Yad is a Chasima, and just like it works for Gerushin, it should work for Kiddushin too. And that's what the Ritva holds. The Ritva says, Kavachomer, it's going to work. We have this hekesh between Gerushin and Kiddushin. And if it's going to work for Gerushin to be Matir, which is a Kula, then certainly it's going to work to be Mekadesh, which is a Chumrah. Right? So that's this machlokes in the Ritva and the Rashba, which again fits in very nicely with how do we look at the Edei Kiyum need. If you say Kiddushin requires real Edei Kiyum, so maybe Ksaviyat's not going to work, whereas for Gershin, it might work because you don't need Edei Kiyum. But if you say, no, if it works for Gershin, it works for Kiddushin, so then maybe you're taking a more Raya-oriented perspective on Ksaviyat and the whole Edei Kiyum view. Yeah.
The Ritva's one who says that Kiddushin and Gershin are the same, that Ksaviyat work.
Yeah.
Interesting, the Ritva's one where it was the most.
Right, so that's why it's good that we have that, like we said for the Ram, that's interesting. First of all, he quotes the Ra'ah, right, so it doesn't necessarily mean that he has to hold of it. But number two, even if the Ritva does hold like the Ra'ah, which is likely, it's his Rebbe, and he quotes him, so then you could still say that it's like the way the Rambam, we said for the Rambam and the Rif, that they read the Gemara in the fundamental way, that you need a presence of Edei Kiyum. They just hold that you need that Edei Chasima, could be that presence. That's where they disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. So you could say that too also for the Ritva. You're right. Right, so maybe, so that's where we'll see in the, right, so now that's where, right now we'll get into the Rambam, where maybe like even if you hold, you need a presence, and Edei Kiyum provide that, you could be mechalik between Gittin and Kiddushin. So let's get into that. So just to finish up, these two unbelievable mahalchim in the Rambam. So the Rambam, the problems in the Rambam were like pretty straightforward, I think. Number one, the Rambam only mentions af ede chasima karsi for gerushin, not for kiddushin, right? The Rambam paskins ede mesira karsi, but he holds like the Rif, which is even ede chasima are enough. But he doesn't mention that in Hilchos Kiddushin. Interesting. In Hilchos Ishos, I should say. Sorry. In the Halachos of Kiddushin. In Hilchos Ishos. Moreover, the Rambam only mentions Ksav Yad for Gerushin, but not for Kiddushin. Also strange. And lastly, when the Rambam talks about Edei Kiyum, so in Hilchos Ishos, it's the first thing he talks about. It's fundamental. It's part of the post Kabbalas HaTorah reality of Kiddushin, which we said is extremely fundamental for the Rambam. And when it comes to Edei Kiyum and Gerushin, it's much later in Hilchos Gerushin, number one. And number two, it needs like some sort of justification. Right? The Rambam, when it comes to Kiddushin, he just says, Edei Kiyum are necessary. And when it comes to Gerushin, he says, you need Edei Kiyum because how could it possibly be that the Baal is going to be Megarish without Edim there? That he's going to be Megarish with Hodas Baldin on his own account? Impossible. Inconceivable. That's the Rambam. So three problems. Number one, the Rambam doesn't say Edei Chasima work for Kiddushin. He doesn't say Ksav Yad works for Kiddushin. And when he talks about Edei Kiyum, he doesn't justify it in Hilchos Ishos, but he does feel the need to justify it in Hilchos Gerushin. So what is going on in the Rambam? We suggested two perspectives, but both perspectives have in common that we're machalic between Kiddushin and Gerushin. Others, like the Lacha Mishnah, for example, and the Mishnah Malach, they are not machal between Kiddushin and Gerushin. They just say, Hu Hadin. Whatever the Rambam says, for one is true of the other. If the Rambam says Edei Chasima work for Gerushin, it's true in Hilchos Ishus as well. And if Ksav Yad works in one, the Mishnah Melech says, it's going to work in the other two. Don't ask these kind of questions. Hu Hadin. But maybe the Rambam is Dafka, and he's very explicit, like Rev Rosenzweig said. The Rambam knows how to talk about Edei Chasima, but he doesn't talk about it in Hilchos Ishus. So what's the explanation? So we said, number one, the first explanation is that, maybe Kiddushin is more of a Yetziras HaChalos than Gerushin is. Gerushin, after all, is the dismantling of the relationship. You're not creating a new reality, you're undoing a previous reality. But Kiddushin is much more. You're trying to create something, you know, from nothing. It's Yesh Me'ayin. And therefore, that Yetziras HaChalos of Kiddushin requires a much greater presence than Gerushin does. And that's why the Edei Kiyum of Kiddushin, they don't need to be justified. It's very understandable. Of course, you need Edei Kiyum. And it's the first thing that the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Ishos. It's fundamental. If you want to have a transformation, of course you need a solemnizing presence to do so. And if that's the case, so then Edei Chasima and Ksav Yad aren't going to work either. Because Again, you need that presence. And Eidei Chasima aren't a presence. That's what we're saying for the Rambam right now. And Ksav Yad, in this explanation. And Ksav Yad isn't a presence either. Right? They might be really good as a Raya, but they're not a presence. And so maybe that's exactly the point for Gerushin, though. What the Rambam tells us is that why do you need Eidei Kiyum for Gerushin? Not because you're creating a new reality, but because you need a very, very strong guaranteed Birur. We can't rely on just the Baal if what you're doing is you're being Matir Eishes Ish. Right? We need more than just the Baal. It's not just Ne'amonos. You need something stronger than just personal Ne'amonos. Hodas Baal Din is not going to work. And you need Eidei Kiyum, right? There needs to be something concrete here. But the Eidei Kiyum are doing something very different. They're not just, they're not a presence, they're a very strong Raya. And if that's the case, so maybe when I have Eidei Chasima, that's good enough to be a guaranteed Raya. And if I have Ksav Yad, that's also great enough to be a guaranteed Raya. So that would be the first way of looking at these problems in the Rambam. The second approach is that there's another huge distinction between Kiddushin and Gerushin. When it comes to Gerushin, you're already in the framework of marriage. And therefore, every single thing you do that brings you closer to Gerushin has a chalos. There are numerous gemaras which indicate that the das legarish is something we actually take into account once Gerushin happens. And for example, when it comes to like another example of the fact that there's some sort of like chalos to like a das legarish is the fact that you need like a minoy shliach in order to have like a shliach like Kabbalah, and you can't stop. You need to appoint another shliach to be mevatel that shliach. Which Rav Rosenthal likes to say, I've heard him say in the past, is like, because once you initiate the das legarish, there's like no stopping it. You need to put up another formidable force in order to defeat it. Because there's a real chalos to that das legarish. And therefore, the ksivas hashtar, the initiation of that das, is important. Right? And so maybe the Eidei Kiyum on Gerushin zero in on that das. They turn that das into something real. Right? It's a thought. I want to be divorced. And now that thought could be initiated and concretized and formalized through Eidim. And so really, though, the purpose of the Eidim is not as like a presence on something. It's as a way of taking, it's making Gerushin something real. Right? And that's what the Rambam means. Right? How could the Baal can't just get divorced on his own word. He needs Eidim there to turn it into something. Right? But therefore, what's another way of turning that das into something real? Putting pen to paper. Ksav Yad. Or Eidei Chasima. Right? It's not just in his head anymore. Right? It's Eidei Kiyum on his das legarish. But that the whole point is that for Gerushin, that das legarish is something. And that's why Eidei Chasira and Ksav Yad are going to work. For Kiddushin, though, none of that is true. You can get married all you want, but go ask a lot of people. If she doesn't agree, it doesn't mean anything. You could write the shtar. There's no chalos to that shtar if she says no. And so Ksav Yad, the fact that he's megala his das lekadesh through Ksav Yad and Eidei Chasima, it has no chalos, right? There's no kiddushin bal karchach, we said. She needs to agree in order for there to be a kiddushin. And so the only thing that's going to work are the Eidei Kiyum on the Maisa Kiddushin. Because up until that point, there is nothing. Whereas for Gerushin, you could get away with other things. And that's the second way to answer the Rambam. So, do we have any questions? Noam?
Just going back to what I asked earlier. So, how would you explain, which one of these is the middle Shita?
Right. So, I think the Rambam is what Rebbe was saying was like the middle shita. I don't know if we saw anyone really, like this other extreme of like just having like a birur. I think the Rambam is like this middle extreme where like the Eidei Kiyum are like a really strong birur. It's like a middle, but you still need Eidei Kiyum. He's not downplaying the need for Eidei Kiyum and just saying like, yeah, you just need a birur. You still need Eidei Kiyum, but the function of the Eidei Kiyum is closer to like a presence. I think that's the point.
I'm understanding. Why is this closer to presence and not just
It is a biror, but it's like a biror on like a maisa, I guess. If that makes sense.
Why is that different than like all the other types of biror we're talking about?
Because we're not just trying to like figure out like we're not just trying to figure out like okay what happened. We need a raya, right? We're saying that we're still trying to initiate a change and something is taking place, but it's taking place without the need for like a presence. It could take place with this biror. That's kind of like you're still initiating a change, and like we're not downplaying that. We're not saying this is the same as Mamon. It's certainly different, and you need those Edei Kiyam. But it's not as strong as like the Ra'ah and the Ritva, who say you need like a presence, right? Gerushin, that's like, I think the difference between Kiddushin and Gerushin is like really a great way of highlighting that. Like for Kiddushin, no, you need that presence. But for Gerushin, maybe you don't need that presence as much. I just need Edus. On like, yeah, okay. So that's... You know, so shkoyach everyone on a great zman, and looking forward to the bechina tomorrow, starting in the morning, and it's going to be amazing. What? Yeah, it'll be available. It's Wednesday. It starts tomorrow. It's due Sunday night, yeah, it should be great. You could take it over, you know, those couple of days, and it should be great. So.
Share lunch today.
Yeah, and share lunch today at 12. And Yortzeit Shiur Thursday night at 8 o'clock in Shank. I could send out another email if that's helpful. Okay. Shkoyach.